The meeting is officially in session now, and all of you are welcome. Any apologies? I've been informed by Honorable Wana that she's unable to join us. Any other?
And
Honorable Mukwele. Any other?
She's in
jail.
In
jail. No, I think if she is, this committee might not be part of. Our first item is consideration of the an adoption of the House of Traditional Leaders petition report, petition requesting the intervention of the NCOP on the alleged failure by the provincial and national government to recognize the provincial House of Traditional Leaders in the Western Cape province. I'm sure that report is among the reports that we have received, dated the 26th of October, which is today. Page one deals with the background content of the 2014 petition. Anything there? Page two, continuation of 2014 petition and the content of the 2016 petition. Page three, continuation of 2016 petition until court rulings, and high court. Anything there? Page four, continuation of high court and concluded by Supreme Court of Appeal. I'm sure if you just lift the 2.2 into the next page, it doesn't look good to put an heading and the rest of the body being in the other page. Do you hear what I'm saying? On page 4, anything? Page 5, Supreme Court, purpose of the hearing, committee members and officials. I'm sure you are all there. Anyone who is not there, can I get reasons why you are not there? page 6. Stakeholders in attendance, there you have. Page 7. Submission by the petitioner. Proceed to page 8 and end up in page 9. Anything on the submission? Then page 9, 6.1, position of the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders, Western Cape. And at page 10, anything? Relief sought. Submission by the Chairperson of the Congress of Traditional Leaders of South Africa, Western Cape, Meneer Messelaar. Anything on that? He continues until page 11. Anything? Then on page 11, we then have submission by the National Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, led by Deputy Minister Honorable Bartholomew Mapela. He presented until page 15. Anything on Deputy Minister presentation? Nothing. Page 15, submission by the Office of the Premier, Western Cape Province. First letter from the Office of the Premier. Page 16 and ends at page 17. Anything there? Page 17, submission by the provincial. I'm sure the provincial there is not properly kept up. Correct, the provincial department of cooperative governance and traditional affairs, which goes to page 18. Anything under it? Nothing. Page 18, submission by Parliament Legal Unit. Page 19, anything? Then towards the end of page 19, we started dealing with the observations and findings. There you go with them. Maybe this is an area that we may want to recap on our own. Committee made the following observation and finding in relate to the hearing. Traditional Leaders Governance Framework Act does not provide for the recognition of the Khoisan traditional leaders. Hence the decision by the National Department to introduce the Khoisan Bill in Parliament. 10.2, Khoisan Bill will accord Khoisan traditional leadership and communities the necessary legal recognition required in terms of Chapter 12 of the Constitution. 10.3, the Commission on Traditional Leadership Disputes and Claims established during its investigations that there are no recognized traditional leaders in the Western Cape province insofar as these traditional leaders have not met the recognition criteria set out in the Traditional Leadership Governance Framework Act. 10.4, only recognized traditional leaders can be members of the House of Traditional Leaders, and given that there are no recognized leaders in the Western Cape province, there cannot be justification for the establishment of a provincial House of Traditional Leaders in the province. 10.5, Western Cape provincial government acknowledges that there are cultural communities in the province but does not recognize cultural communities as custodian of their respective cultures. 10.6, the Western Cape provincial government has not established a Department of Traditional Affairs, and as such, all traditional matters or issues are dealt with by the provincial Department of Cultural Affairs and Sport. The last one, the committee is to consider and deliberate on the, because that's the recommendation. I thought it's the last one. Okay? It is us who must then develop the recommendation. Honorable Engelbrecht.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I just want to check if 10.5 was captured correctly. It says the Western Cape Provincial Government acknowledges that there are cultural communities in the province, but does not recognize cultural communities as custodians of their respective cultures. Has that been captured correctly? I just want to confirm with our researchers, because that's not the way that I understood the letter from the Premier. The last part of the sentence does not recognize cultural communities as custodians. The way I understood it, they do recognize the cultural communities as custodians, they just do not recognize them as traditional leaders because the Act does not allow for the Khoisan as traditional leadership. That's the way I understand it.
That's a suggestion to correct that. That while they recognize the cultural communities, they are
as custodians, yes.
And custodians.
Yes, they do not acknowledge them as leaders, as traditional leaders, due to the flaws in the bill.
That's the suggestion. Does it make all your understanding?
Wow.
So if that being the case, then we can move to start dealing with the recommendation. How do we recommend? You are welcome, Honorable Mhlanga from Mpumalanga.
Thanks for this. Of course, we must also speak about
the Honorable Engelbrecht to answer.
Mr. Chair, I think this is a very, very serious issue, and it's something that we have to put, my perspective, is that we need to put pressure on to get the bill changed. Now, it's mentioned in 10.1, is that the department, the decision by the National Department to introduce the Khoisan Bill in Parliament. And it's really important to recognize all the different cultures in our country. And for years, the Khoisan, the Khoi and the San have been neglected. So I'm just, my personal view is that we really need to push for this change in the bill, and that we need to try and accommodate that from a petitions committee. I'm just not quite sure how we do that. But then our recommendations are that this needs to get urgent attention from the department.
I'm sure the fact that we are sitting with the committee and the chair of the cooperative governance who are responsible for that bill, let's give him to guide us as to what does he understand. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. With your permission, what is happening, Honourable Member Engelbrecht, there's a program of public hearing around the Khoisan Bill. So it's a concurrent responsibility because it's a Section 26 bill. What is happening? NA, during November, they are starting the public hearing. In fact, we're envisaging to have a joint public hearing because we're going to serve the same constituency. But unfortunately, because of the budget process in Parliament, especially from our side as NCOP, the likelihood is that we might not be in a position to embark on the same public hearings. But during November month, there's a program that has been scheduled for Portfolio Committee of Co-Opter in NA. So immediately after the processes, we'll have to embark on our own public participation in terms of Section 72 for public hearings. Then thereafter, it will serve before Parliament. Yes.
Maybe, why don't we say we recommend that the bill be fast-tracked accommodate the Khoi and the San communities in the democratic dispensation? I think that is an overarching recommendation.
Maybe just state that we fully support the petitioner's request to be acknowledged as representatives of their culture. I think we need to acknowledge that we support that. And in view of that, we recommend the fast-tracking of the bill.
I'm sure that is in line with the cooperative governance stipulated in Chapter 3 of the Constitution, to say we will also encourage cooperation between government and the communities that are practicing this tradition to work together in the best interest of the nation building. Okay. Thank you very much. Any mover for the adoption of the report with the recommendation inserted by yourself? Honorable Engelbrecht, I would want you to move. You have been active participant in this regard. Honorable Mshanga, seconded. Thank you very much. Thank you, colleagues. Can we then move to the next report? Scowler. This is very interesting report because it looks like ordinarily I was supposed to be alone, even when I considered it, because it has been a one-man show.
Where was I? Limpopo.
No, you get lost on your way to Limpopo. Is that the day that you tried to come to Limpopo? So let's look at it, colleagues. Also, it dated today. However, the hearing took place on the 2nd of September in the Park Hotel. I'm sure it's not just Park Hotel, it's the Park Hotel. Mokopane, Limpopo, correct that part. Background. On page 1, goes to page 2. Anything on it? Okay. Page 2, starting with 1.1, the lease agreement in respect of the farm overseer, 1.2, broad-based black economic empowerment, shareholding of the community in the lease agreement, 1.3, service level agreement between Anglo Platinum and the municipality, 1.4, structural defect in the houses. It goes to page 3. Anything on the 4 items that are on page 2? Honorable Ansel Prost?
Mr. Chair, with due respect, because we weren't there, we can't actually comment on the content of the report, only you can.
So what are you suggesting?
We rely on you, Mr. Chair, to tell us. Everything so is hunky-dory.
I'm telling you that okay. This is what happened if you were to ask me. But I thought properly we should just, you know, make sure that you have seen everything in this. Thank you for that, Honorable Anchor. Page 3, the exhumation of graves remaining on the farm over sale. 1.6, Anglo Platinum response to the efforts by the community to engage it on the issues raised in the petition. 1.7, the enrichment of the tribal authority. But I guess this is traditional council, not tribal authority. Okay. Not what? No, it's traditional council. Isn't it you have got this law that you called traditional leadership framework and governance and framework passed by the Committee of Honorable Mohapi. It is the law that guides all of us today. And in that law, there's nothing called tribal or tribal, whatever you may call it. Nothing cancer. So let's stick to what we have adopted ourselves. Page 3, inspection in loco and hearing. Committee members and officials, as you see them in page 4, inspection in logo. Honorable Mark.
I
I think, Chair, I will also follow or raise the very same with Honorable Tihai. In a sense that, Chair, it was not deliberate that we members were not there. And it will be, when we submit this report to our house, it will be seen as if, I mean, there's something wrong. The member being alone with the committee and addressing it, we know what happened. Can we find a way to say if either members were in attendance and just leave the issue of name? But can we find a way to, really check? Because.
Thank you, sir. Can I thank you for the reading? Okay. Nothing. If the standard of the report, I think, is always the members of the committee and up. That's above, actually let me start with, above is that we were in attendance, and below is this to the members, the total members of the committee. But in this report, if you can take, the first paragraph, it says the chairperson was in Nogo, was the support staff, it states that. And below, then it says the members of the composition of the members of the committee. I have not opened, but I remember I read it briefly on my way up here. It's what I see. It says that the member and then the person and the staff
conduct this inspection in Nobu, and then they went through. Then below you see the opposition members, the members of the committee. So it's really when we read the report, you see that who was there and who are members of the committee. So to me, I would like to say, let us read it like that. I think it's fine because all the reports that they've been adopting by this committee has been like that, stating the members of the committee and who are present. Thank you.
Maybe what we may need to do on the second, where you start by saying, Honorable S.D. Torejan, we said the committee was supported instead of Honorable Torejan was supported.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
yeah.
be like
yeah.
It was, you know, the committee was supported by. I'm not sure whether that addressed. I see your eyes.
You see, many a time when we raise issues, we are raising it behind the back of our mind of the environment that we find ourselves operating in. And that is why I was really more cautious to not to leave it as if it was an individual person running alone. Hence I'm saying, if you read only this paragraph, it will give a reflection as if a chairperson was isolated to deal with the matter in his totality. And remember, apart from this chairperson, there might be many people who really wish to be there, but due to circumstances, they couldn't make it. So I'm just saying, either way, even if we want to give it a reflection, the report is subject to review, chairperson. It doesn't mean even if it's a standard way of doing things, but where you see that there were exceptional circumstances, you know, that could not be contained, then you just leave as is. So I was just saying, even if we can put it that way, I think it's fair enough that the committee was supported by Honorable Chobejani and the officials. I think it's fair enough that way. Unlike where we want to leave it as if one was really frustrated alone out there. And I'm saying, you need also to look at the historical background of the committee. At no given stage where the committee was left to the chairperson to run alone, you know. So I'm just saying, let us not leave it in the hands of the state where it might have been. Please, chairperson.
Okay.
Otherwise, even the chairperson will do court. In Rustenburg, the chairperson was under siege. Same members were there to protect the chairperson of the committee. Thank you, chairperson.
We'll try to mobilize the penalty to be a better way. Okay, let's proceed on. You are welcome with page 4, inspection in logo. Page 4, direct to page 5. Hearing on the petition, stakeholders, there you are. Submissions by the petitioner on page 6 goes to page, ends at page 6. On page 7, anything on the submission? Page 8, submissions by the Rasikaolelo community headman. Yes, madam.
I'm not following you on the page. I don't follow you. If you say page 8, then I don't have what you put on page 8.
No. I said the submission by the petition on page 6. It goes to page 7. Oh, I'm sure holistically you are having a wrong document. Sincerely, I apologize for that, you know. And I, for that matter, I'm not even going to hesitate to go back so that we.
I will follow you.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for your help. Then we go to page 8. Submissions by Rasikaolelo community headman. Page 8. and at page and at page 9. Anything on that? On page 9, submissions by the Department of Mineral Resources. It drags to page 10 and ends at page 11. Anything there? Page 11, submissions by the Mogalakwena local municipality. It goes until page 12. It ends at page 12. Anything worried members? Nothing. 5.6, page 13, submission by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. It goes to page 14, 15, okay. Honorable.
Regarding the directors of the Section 21 company, if you can just indulge me because I wasn't there, is that originally they were appointed, they didn't appoint 8.
Oh, you started on 11 and you are now on 8?
The directors of the 21 Section company, just for clarity, and originally they represented the community and then later on they stopped representing the community. If you maybe could clarify those issues.
Yeah, well, Section 21 company indeed, when it started, it was, you know, acting on behalf of the community. But I think the trustees, the directors or trustees, I don't know, it's directors, yeah. They found themselves in the process realizing that the community does not understand the sophistication they are operating in, and they start in a way deviating and serve like they are serving themselves, and the community felt no, we don't want you any longer. Okay, that's how it was there, and finally seemed not serving the purpose it was established for. And on page 11, the municipality was there who presented that we were not part of the sign for relocation. We only participated in signing for service delivery there was, you know, money coming from the municipality. But for, you know, physical relocations of community members from where they were residing to a new venue, they were not, you know, on the forefront. That's what they presented to us.
Does that mean they're actually abdicating their responsibility with that statement?
Come again.
Is the municipality abdicating their responsibility with this statement on page 11?
I'm sure you may come to me when we are now talking on ourselves.
Okay.
They told us that way. Then you can, you know, translate it into your understanding. We were on page, if we...
11.
No, page 14.
No.
We were dealing with rural development. It ends at page 16. Yeah, 16. Goes from page... Come again. Oh, Asia. No. Get her a manual one so that she's able to follow us.
No.
I don't know of this coach. Okay. I'm sure they will organize one for you. Anything on that from rural development? There is a meeting somewhere in here. I don't know where is this meeting taking place.
Okay.
So the meeting in the
extended wing.
Petition meeting. This is page 17, submission by the Anglo American. Maybe I should take the petition. Can you get me Roybos the petition? So that they stop what they're doing then. Okay, page 17. Submission by Anglo American Platinum Limited. It goes from page 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. Just to check with the secretariat, they promised to send additional documents. Have we received? Thank you, honorable members. Anything on the Anglo submission? I think that's where the crack of the matter is, because they're the one who are, causing everything. Honorable Manopos.
Because of your relationship, the additional information that you say you requested, has it been incorporated with this report, so that when we are about to conclude, because of you were there, so that if you have requested the additional information, it means that information is important for us to be able to consolidate the report and make recommendations.
Did you?
Yes.
You think that?
Yes.
You think that? Yes. Oh, this volume. You email this volume. Email.
Sir, maybe my question is not well understood. Let me rephrase this or amplify it. I wanted to find out the information. Can you confirm that he has received it? My question is, has it been incorporated with this report, so that while we are deliberating on the report, we are reflecting it? Because of it can receive it, but if it's not there, it's something else. So that able to
the point Honorable Manopola is raising is, she's saying, the report they forwarded to it. Does this summary include the submissions that, came late after we left them?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Can we then move to 24? I can't see. The time where I can see, the time where I become absolutely blind. Observations. I'm not sure whether what I did earlier was helpful. Should I do the same even in this one to read them? Okay. The committee made the following observations and findings on the basis of the hearing on the petition. 6.1. Rustenburg Platinum Mines Limited, a subsidiary of Anglo American Platinum Limited, is the holder of
the holder of only the mining rights.
Yeah, okay. Put it in a soundable language. It doesn't go well.
The holder of mining rights.
It's the only mine owner, whatever you call it, to the Magalakwena mine, including the mining area located on farm over resale 815LR, and the surface right to the mine belong to the Mapela Tribal Authority. Tribal Authority, I'm sure you'll stick to our principle, but held in trust by the state. 6.2, In order to give effect to the relocation, the mine concluded a memorandum of agreement in or around 6th October 1993 with the self-governing territory of Lebowa. And this lease provided for the mine to occupy a portion of various farms owned by the Mapela Traditional Council, including the farm over in Lesere, for purpose of mining and other mining-related activities. 6.3, after the self-governing territory of Lebowa ceased to exist in 1994, the farms were now held in trust by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and the mine was later required to conclude a new agreement in line with the new legislation. 6.4, on the 12th of November 2011, the community passed a formal land rights resolution in terms of which the community agreed to the conclusion of notarial lease with the mine. It cannot be too notarial. You delete the other notarial. 6.5, the lease was concluded and sent to the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform, Minister for approval. The Minister approved the conclusion of the lease at the beginning of 2014, and the attorney, Fasken Matinua, were instructed to attend to the registration of the notarial lease. The notarial lease, 6.6 of course, the notarial lease requires RPM to pay an amount of 30 million into a community trust that will be established on behalf of the community, and this amount will be transferred into a trust once it has been established. 6.7, the community has made progress in the establishment of the community trust, and on the 20th June 2016, it elected the trustees for the community trust. 6.8, despite the notarial lease being approved by the minister, there have been delays in the execution, and the registration of the lease. 6.9, Rustenburg Platinum Mine concluded a service level agreement with the municipality to provide specific services to the community for a period of 5 years commencing in 2011, and the agreement is set to expire in 2016. 6.10. On the 29th July 2016, the community submitted a letter to Anglo Platinum requesting that the graves at the farm over this thing is not consistent. At some stage it's over resell, some stage it's oversell. Get it right, okay? Oversell to Amwede, be relocated, and communities request in this respect was approved by Anglo Platinum's senior management, and the procurement of services provider to exhume and relocate the 1,400 graves is underway. I'm sure this observation needs to be looked into thoroughly and coined accordingly. I suspect something is not well there. 6.11, Rasikaulelo Community Engagement Committee, established early this year, that is February 26, is mandated. I'm sure it will only be Rasikaulelo Community Engagement established in February 2016. It cannot be early and come and set February. in February 2016, it's mandated to engage the community on the establishment of a community trust and Anglo Platinum on all the outstanding relocation issues. 6.12, some of the houses which Anglo Platinum built for the community as part of the relocation agreement have structural defects in the form of cracks in the walls and ceiling that have caved in. Anything on the observation? Okay, let's come to the recommendation. And I guess you are not going to say because you are there, you tell us everything. I'm tired of you. Now that I've given you the background. Honorable Manopole has to be excused for another engagement. Don't be surprised when she walked out. Okay, thank you very much. I'm sure you'll ask these officials to help you in this regard. I want to believe here you have got no choice today. For the first time, you are going to ask them to lead you.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah. I will
engage. What are we not doing about it? Really?
I'm not sure who would want to start by trying to help. What are we going to? I think basically is to say the mine should comply with all the rules. Including they call it the BEE. Is it BEE? As it was expected, that by 2014, the mines should have allowing previously disadvantaged communities to have a proper, you know, stakeholders. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. So I think that's number one that I think we need to call for it, that it be adhered to. And the one thing that I wasn't happy in that meeting was the Department of Rural Development. The community resolved in 2011 that they have to work with the mine. And it requires the minister to sign off the resolution. The minister came on board in 2014. I think something needs to be, you know, said about that. Because if I'm sure you know that the relation between the have and the don't, it has never been an easy thing. Once you manage to maneuver in, government should not become another stumbling block. Mm. They've got no reason, if the two parties agreed, for them to take 3 years. What are they doing in 3 years? 2011 to 2014. I don't know, but it's something that needs to be, you know, looked into. The other area is the service delivery services paid by the municipality. I mean, paid by the mine. Municipality in discharging that obligation needs to have an involvement and participation of the community that are directly affected. Yes, it is the responsibility of the municipality to distribute every little thing they have equitably. But in this regard, they must also take cognizance of those who have, you know, been directly affected to an extent of being relocated, starting a new life out of where they were, you know, living all along. And I may sound like I'm speaking too much, but I guess I'm covering all of us too. And I think maybe officials, you may help if you feel I'm omitting something. Honorable Ankara.
Mr. Chair, I've got a different take on this, and please just hear me. We've got a community that's unhappy because of certain issues, and I think some of them are very valid, like, for example, the BBBE status of the company. I think that is very valid. Now we're looking at things like bursaries, local empowerment, provision of municipal services. We're looking at, they're complaining about the houses that are breaking and cracking. But however, if you look at what the community was given by the mines, I worked it out. In total, the community has been given 170 million rand by the mines. 170 million rand over a period of 75 years. But the first payment is 8 million, then 28 million, and then 94 million. So there's a huge amount of money coming into the community. And then every household was paid 37,000 rand for relocation. That excludes the cost of the grades, which I'm not including because that's an emotional issue altogether. So each household was given 37,000. You've been given a house, it's built for you. Yes, I agree the trauma of relocating and losing your traditional ground. I mean, that I think you can't measure in monetary terms. But you've been given a house, it's been built for you, everything has been given for you, services have been given for you, everything, and you've been given 37,000 rand. Now, I think that's quite a sweet deal. I wouldn't mind that. Now, you've been given that, you've been given all that money, the community has been given, over a period of 75 years, they've already received their first 8 million, plus an extra 30 million, of which they've received their first 20 million rand. So the community has received huge amounts of money from the mine, and now they're demanding as if they were never received anything. So shouldn't we take a broader picture regarding this and say that yes, there are certain things that the mine needs to do, and yes, the municipality does need to provide basic service provision according to our constitution. But surely the community should also take accountability for some of these issues that they are requesting us to intervene on.
I hear that. But I wanted us to not make mistakes, colleagues, that there is the amount of money that can buy a one,
hey.
You know, I'm sure that's one thing that we need not to be seen, you know, insensitive of, you know, our culture. Maybe I happen to be a black man, and I understand many cultures amongst ourselves. You know, we've got this belief of saying, if at my age of almost about 60, if I get relocated, once I arrive at the new place, I may not take more than 10 years, I will die. That's what is in us. And for these people to, you know, not necessarily forcefully, voluntarily, but coerced by, you know, circumstances surrounding themselves, it is something that we need to be sensitive to it. I hear and understand that, but I'm trying to say we need to be a bit, you know, sensitive of, you know, disrupting people's way of life. We know that we will always say from time to time that once in this space there is something that all of us we may benefit, we will allow ourselves to forfeit the space that we were in. But I wanted us to balance it in a bit way.
Thank you, Chair. I think overall you have made a clear point that we need to say, to take this resolution that says the mine has to comply with the BEE, triple BEE. I think by that you said it all, because I don't think in our forefathers' land we can forfeit our right of birth by 150 million, and then we set there the generations to come looking these people mining there, taking all the wealthy to another country, to a foreign country, robbing us our wealth that was created for us by the Creator Himself. We'd rather say, as you have said, that BBBE, the mine has to comply, so that when the mine is in operation and the people will benefit in so many contracts that are taking place in the mine itself. I think as a committee sitting here, we've got this obligation to see that our people are really benefiting from the development that is taking place in their their places. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You will bear with us, because we are trying to go to we are trying to reach resolutions that will assist the community, also the mind, because we need not to be biased. We need to balance ourselves. I mean, we have those who brought the grievance to us, the politician, and the mining, the miner, the those who own the mine themselves. We need to balance the two, because we also consider the issue of economy in our country. But now, I just want to get clarity from you, Chair. The beneficiation part of it, how is it translated to go directly to the beneficiary? Why I'm asking this, the issue of money that is given to the community. Usually, my understanding is that money that go to trust, they don't go to individuals as cash collateral to them. But it goes to the trust, and from the trust there must be developmental agenda that is set up by the trust for the community. So I just want to understand what is the process of transition of the money. Because before we take decision, we must also assist the community. The other matter is the issue of BE versus direct ownership. Because we cannot talk of BE or alone. BE is just a component. But the ownership itself. Although I don't know whether the petitioner raised the issue of ownership or what, but if they did not, we must also look at it as this committee and put some recommendation around that, that the mind should also look at. While approving frustrating the issue of BE, must also look at the ownership, the direct ownership of the very same tribal council on the mine itself. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. I think we can also capture it in a manner that would then encourage social responsibility, even outside, you know, this BEE and other things, but social responsibility, where as long as the mind is there, issues relating to infrastructure development should still become part of them, you know, as they move forward. Maybe also on the trust itself, we need to speak to it. I'll tell you why, because many of our trusts that we have them, and we, the trustees, turn it into our own milking cow. We start, exactly. So maybe we need to talk to it as to what message are we going to say to it, to say indeed the trust should serve as a conduit on behalf of the people, you know, being a pipe that the whole beneficiation through them, you know, reach the community. It shouldn't be a one stop on them, and you know, the majority of expected beneficiaries left outside there. Any other? Yes.
I just want to speak to the estimation of the remaining grace. I think Anglo have to fast track that as well. there are service providers already that have been engaged to ensure that the remaining graves are exhumed. And then we had an issue of a gentleman who had grave sites on his, like, on the property.
On his homestead.
Yes, like the house they had relocated to him had graves on site. So I think they should ensure that those graves are also exhumed. And then I think the other issue, I think the mine also has to be encouraged to offer bursaries as well, so that they ensure that the community. Yes. I think that we could tie that into the social responsibility aspect, as well as we could also tie that, because there was also a complaint around them not hiring, like providing business, giving business to local businessmen in the area. The gentleman, the petitioner pointed out that the people that were engaged to provide services to the mines, they didn't even know them. So I think that has to be tightened up, the relationship between the mine and it's benefiting the community as well. And then I'm about to finish, Honorable Mthanga. And then I think there was another issue that was raised by the around the structural defects. Remember that with defects, they are latent defects or patent defects. So you must differentiate between those. There are those that are caused by a flaw in the structure. So I think the mine has to ensure that those are taken care of. And then there are those that are caused by wear and tear, general wear and tear. And I think the mine does say that where it's wear and tear, you know, in terms of the law, wear and tear can't be the responsibility of the person that you know you bought the house from or that is built. But there are certain defects in a building that are caused by the structure, that structural defects that are latent, that are caused by the way in which it was built. And we had a lady whose roof had caved in, and I don't know how someone can be responsible for a roof that's caved in. There must have been some sort of a defect in the actual construction. So they've got to ensure that they look good on the outside, but I think the problem is in the inside. And you've got a lot of settlement cracks, and I think those need to be taken care of by the mine. Although the mine pointed out, and legally, yes, wear and tear, they can't be blamed for that. But there are certain defects that I think they should be responsible for.
Maybe because we were not told about the handover, of the houses. Who inspected that you are handing over a well, built house? That we don't know. On this matter, we should say, on the shoddy work defect that we are seeing, they must be attended within a particular time. We can't say no just for as long as the mine is there. We must have, in my own suggestion, that we tighten it with the time frame to say, within a period that you may think is reasonable. Honorable Mr.
Chair, I just wanted to support the doctor, the immunity to come and follow the mine. It must cause the inclusive in the sense that it should say so much percent are allocated for the local community. It should not be less than the 50+1 allocation of service goods and whatever for the mine. They cannot afford the services to other provinces and looking the local surrounding, meaning the 50+1% should be. I mean, our communication, I don't know how you type, but our communication takes a best case.
And I guess where you come from, Honorable Mthanga, there are no mining opportunities in the
there are. And we're here to say, no, we're very clear to say, companies from Johannesburg, for example, let me say from Gauteng, cannot be more than those that are from Mpumalanga in a particular area. That is a policy, a normal policy. It must first benefit the local community before it benefits the outsider. So I don't know, but our procurement should be very clear to say it must prioritize the local community.
You know why I said this, colleagues, I'm just, you know, when we arrive at the decision which say minerals belongs to the state, part of what we were trying, because we interrogated it, Tina.
Yeah.
We wanted to know, why do you say our after effect benefited other people that are not going to suffer? And the justifications were there to say, no, you see, if you said mines are for those that are around it, mine is one of the, you know, economic help of South Africa, it should then be shared amongst ourselves. I hear and understand the point you are raising, but I'm doing it deliberately just to remind ourselves that we shouldn't shoot ourselves on the foot when we try to address other and create another problem tomorrow. Honorable Ted.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wonder if the officials can help us on this. But there is, because this is not the first mine in the country, there is a charter or a document that is talking about the allocation of this BE, social issues and the community. And most of the mine used to dodge that part of it. And I think we need to refine that charter or into that document and make an emphasis that they must stick into that document. And a person that is working for a mine as a liaison community must make sure that document is a working document in that community.
I think like our first recommendation were like over 80 to say the mining charter should be compliant.
Mining charter
come up everything but we were now trying to be specific on areas that we thought about creating. But the key is compliance with the mining charter. Any other that you think still need to be tightened?
Chetty,
honorable. I thought you are reading something that you are going to recommend to
us.
Bring it. Okay. Can we leave it at this level? Thank you. Any mover for the adoption? Honorable Kumbi, any seconder? Honorable Mohabi, thank you very much. Can we then look into...
The first set of minutes is the 2nd of September. Page 1 of the minutes of the 2nd of September. Page 1 to 5.
Can we then defer them so that we get a complete set?
Yeah.
Then we go to the one of the 6, 7. You have them. The one of the minutes of the 7th of September.
Okay.
In room 2, page 3, page 1. Were you all there?
Yes.
Okay. Page 2. This was one meeting that was well attended.
well attended. Ever since I've been chairing this
it was well.
Thank you. Three. Page 4, page 5, any mover? Honorable Marty, Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. The minutes are true reflection of what transpired in that particular day. The last set of the minutes is dated the 5th of October. In good old chamber. If you have done page 1, again, this was almost nearly well attended. It was just 1% less than the other one. Page 2, 3, page 4, page 5, and page 6. Any mover, Honorable Mshaka? And any seconder for that? Honorable Mshaka, thank you very much. The minutes are so adopted. I think we have come to the end of our business for today. When are we going
to try? Yeah, okay, that's quite interesting. The last minute to talk the on the time, yeah? The hearing of Chair, we didn't do justice to the member. Didn't do justice. I don't know how is our program being, because I do want us to pray for that. And we can't say it was our fault as Parliament not to do that. But I don't know how would we have time to think the interrogation. And you remember they gave us a big fine.
It's not a report.
This is a minute. I'm trying to say they gave us a very big fine that we never even interrogated ourselves. So I'm just saying, yes, while adopting this minute, I just want to know, in terms of our program now, are we still going to have time to see them this term, or are we going to meet with them the next term? I don't know. I think it needs to be speed up, because we didn't do justice, and they are, I mean, about skills and the very same matter with the higher education issue. You see, we can't let this.
I think one of our volunteers wanted to help.
Chair, I wanted to say we have already at the top of the minute. What the honorable member is coming with is another issue. Total different condition. What we need to do, we can again request the report and rediscuss it again. But the minute that I have the way that you have taken is correct.
I agree, and I remember that all of us we were aware that time was not in our side that day. But I was of the view that when we will be dealing with the report, we will look at everything and identify gaps, if any gaps, and then call them if there's any to call them. But for now, these minutes are adopted. We will see what is the report saying to us. Is there any area that we can, take it back and call them again before we adopt it?
I wanted to check what is
going on
regarding the ritual.
I was saying to the secretary. that he must request that the presiding officer then gave him the date that they would, you know, finish the budget meeting on the 30th, and then immediately the next week of that in the week you are going, so that he start as early as next week to communicate those dates as they have been, you know, as given permission according to that. I need to emphasize this, that in principle the study tour has been adopted, just about dealing with budget, so that we don't go to the study tour and to the work of parliament being abandoned.
Whether
that entails. Chelsea, are you?
Yeah, thanks.
Maybe because you are
speaking
about India.
No, sure. I'm trying to make it clear that we understand the responsibility of officials and the responsibilities of politicians. This is just something I have a concern. We knew last week that the tour was going to be approved. We had discussions as politicians. I even contacted Dr. Shoshali Lalanlau. Right up until this morning, I still get an adverse comment from the Secretary that must be contact. But Chairperson, we are politicians. We are decision makers. Officials are implementers. Raising the content, Chairperson, if the officials do not think it's been approved, and then what they do in turn, they do not plan. And when we do have the tools done and adapted, we told logistically that we cannot go on because they do not have sufficient time to plan. So I want to make it very clear that the officials must go ahead, like you said, because it has been approved. And we just confirmed that process. Now, with the Secretary of the Kalaki, that hasn't been planned up by the list, she spoke. If the chairperson has already informed us that this has been confirmed, the responsibility of the official is to go and make the necessary arrangements and leave the part of whether they approve or not to you as a chairperson. It's clear, chairperson, that we're going to have a problem now. That when it comes to say, okay, the last budget meeting is on the 7th and we leave on the 8th, we, in this committee, will be told, we'll give a short notice, but we don't have time to look at the logistical problem. And that might be a chairperson. Thank you.
Chairperson, based on that, I was going to suggest that I remember we worked at Atlanta, and at times to leave the responsibility with an individual person, there might be some deficiencies. So I was going to suggest we provide the poor you, Chairperson, that the sales should largely fall the sales and off. But we should ensure that the Secretary of Petition should lie the Secretary of Justice and Security and Conduct to have a joint effort in terms of persuading this matter. Otherwise, if we leave it only solely in the hands of one person, any problem might be left with him. And if it's more than one person, we can only share ideas and see how best it is to treat it. But we must also have stipulations of saying how frequently to get the reporting, so that we're able to also plan for our side.
Thank you. I think we will do that. We will require them to work, you know, as a team. Particularly that you remember that one of the ideas that we had was that do we have to be in India towards Mexico? Or do we do India and come in January, go to Mexico? They must, you know, you know, make it tight, yeah, so that we know what we are going to do. But I think thank you for all these colleagues. We'll try to help them to tighten everything, and before it gets too long, all of you will be informed of things.
Thank you, Hoshi. To add to what you're saying, yesterday I had a meeting with the chair with the organization of the investigation. And it was clear that we are going to India, all of us. And then next week, we are going to Mexico. then the committee, the officials must hold together. If there anything that we can extend, if you are having 3 days, we can have 5 days, then in the checking whether we cannot get any other thing for other committees. Then we do the same thing next year, and the COPTA will do the thing. The officials must hold together in the people. Thank you.
I think what could be done is when we were trying to, you know, synergize our work, while we are saying this India trip is led by petition, but it will out of 5 days, petition will then be allocated 3 days, one for the cocktail, one for self-care security, so that we, every time we do our work, we are, you know, a family. We don't leave anything for time.
Okay, I'm just thinking, if we are incorporating three different committees, is 5 days going to be enough? Shouldn't one then extend it to a 7 day? Because giving yourself 1 day, I mean, we've seen, and you know, in India, the traffic, it takes you 4 hours to go from one little shop to another little shop. So we've got to be careful. I've seen with oversight visits that we don't have enough time for the oversight because the traveling takes so long. So we must be careful that we don't shortchange ourselves. While we're there, make sure that we have enough time to do proper oversight, to be able to really speak to the people, and
that's
then make
the
sure that
we are not doing oversight.
Okay, not oversight.
Study group.
But is 5 days sufficient? I mean, the cost of going there and everything is there. Don't you want to, especially with the people's photos, extend it with an extra 2 days?
I think as they are doing the final plan, they will look at whether that will make sense. If it doesn't, we'll then readjust that.
I'm just going to repeat that again, Mr. Ted, just as a tragedy, if we're going to go there for a study tour and we rush the time, always an issue, and then it defeats the object if we don't have enough time to do the proper study and investigation into that, if you want to do it.
I think that
would
be
taken
care of.
Look at it, yes.
Thank you very much, colleagues. It has been wonderful to work with you today. I can't even finish. This man is closer to me. Can you, in the next meeting, if I happen to be where you are, can I ask you to sit there? If I happen to
be where you
are. Can we just have clarity from the chair of safety and security in terms of our trip to Baltimore prison now, and where we're meeting and where we're supposed to get together, because we don't have a clue.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we're leaving at 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
They said the transport is outside the parliament, so they are not allowed to be here. I'm not sure where. I saw it outside the
plane
street, I
think. Is it at the Goodhouse Street,
I think? Okay, I'm not sure. Help me.
Okay, I think we have to make the caucus before we
So you have a caucus.
Yeah.
I'm sure the simplest method is the final arrangement will then be sent to all of us. But where we are in our part and has to be, but final logistical arrangement will then be sent. Okay.
Yeah,
you can speak.
Yeah. Honorable, whether we're dealing with petitions committee, safety and security, or the AC caucus. Because I'm just trying to figure where I am right now. Because I've got a directive on the AC caucus that we're going to be seeing around. Now I'm doing a petitions committee.
You
are doing
a
petitions
committee. Honorable, this meeting is honorable. Thank you very much. I'm enjoying myself. Have a wonderful day.
Chasing us about.